It was backwards.
Oh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Pablo Torre. That's Mina Kimes. That's Dominique Foxworth. Two of the three of us know how to operate a microphone. You can figure out the other one.
Oh, I love when smart people do dumb things. It's the best.
It was on. It was connected. It was just pointing in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
What does it tell you that the Patriots are bringing back Cam?
It kind of tells me that Patriots fans are like those kids who are just for the first time beginning to talk back to their dad. Like, they're muttering now at the dining table because, look, there was a split. There was a divorce in this household. The kids stayed with dad, Bill Belichick, and mom, Tom Brady, he went off and won a Super Bowl and just signed today this massive, creatively accounted for deal where it's like a 4-year deal, but 3 of those years are a void deal, so it's a 1-year deal. It's team friendly. It's family friendly. And meanwhile, if you're a Patriots fan, who is back at the dinner table with you? It's the quarterback that you began to really despise, I think, or at the very least mistrust over this past season in Cam Newton. And yes, this also is a creative accounting kind of a deal. It is a $14 million deal. I believe $6 million of that is tied up in incentives, in honors, in playoff achievements. So maybe it's not as much as the sticker shock would indicate. But if you're a Pats fan, you're looking at Tampa Bay, you're looking at yourself, and you're thinking, how did I get here?
And maybe the fans started to distrust Cam Newton, but nothing about the organization seemed like they did. Like the coaches, the players, everyone there seemed to really love Cam Newton. And there is an argument. I tend to feel like Cam Newton's best days are way, way behind him. But COVID hit Cam Newton, and his performance changed after that. So there is some potential that he could come back and be good. But the fact of the matter is, he was a galvanizing force in that locker room. He's not going to cost him that much. They still have room to get other quarterbacks. So it seems like a no-brainer. Why not bring back the guy who everyone loves and has the potential to have some big, big games on occasion? Like, that Seahawks game wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't just COVID, by the way, that derailed his season last year. Cam's number one and two targets at wide receiver were both undrafted. His number one target at tight end was a 7th-round pick. That doesn't completely excuse his poor performance, but it does explain it and suggest that this season he might be a bit better. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because, as Pablo laid out, he's getting paid like a high-end backup. It doesn't preclude the Patriots from getting another quarterback, maybe from getting a Jimmy Garoppolo or trading for one, but not from drafting a quarterback like a young Trey Lance, who can then spend a year learning in New England. But my favorite part about this is what you guys have both alluded to, which is the good vibes. Like, Cam Newton and Bill Belichick seem to actually love each other in a way that is weirdly very charming to me. I feel like I'm not alone in this.
Oh, yeah, they got plenty of good vibes. I love this buddy cop movie for another season. I'm definitely going to watch it. But I do think that there's a potential that Cam Newton could be better because not only could he be healthier or could he have more time in the offense and maybe some better weapons around him, but those players on defense that they miss, those guys will be back too. Like, the best case scenario last year before the season of how Cam Newton could play well was they're not going to ask him to do that much. But that's not what happened. They kind of asked him to be the whole offense with very little support from the defense. So I'm not high on thinking Cam Newton's going to be back to old Cam Newton or the Patriots are going to be great. But I'm more optimistic right now considering what they could do around him than I would be if they'd done nothing.
By the way, is there anybody who is more unlikely for Bill Belichick to fall in love with than Cam Newton, just as a matter of personalities? Like, one of them does not like to talk. One of them resents the media. The other guy is, like, the most charismatic quarterback I think that exists right now.
I don't understand why you would come to that conclusion. Like, isn't opposites attract a good thing? Like, aren't good relationships normally built on one person who likes to be outgoing and everyone likes to talk to the other person who's cool playing the background? Like, isn't that a normal kind of... Like, what's going on in your relationship? Are you guys both loudmouths, or is it just you?
Wait a minute. You're trying to hold on. Do not reverse project on us. Nina, Dominique just projected all over the camera and then is like, no, wait a minute. This is about you guys, because my brain totally came up with that organically.
My brain was really worried that that analogy was going to go to Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, and I'm just glad it ended with Pablo Torre and his wife instead.
Are you starting to think that the Texans may actually keep Deshaun Watson?
I really hope we kept that part of the show. But no, I am not thinking that they're actually going to keep Deshaun Watson. I mean, can we just say that David Culley has a bad like maybe the worst job any of us can remember in the NFL, because what he has to do is go have press conferences where he's asked, I believe, 10 of his first 17 questions about Deshaun Watson. And he has to say stuff like, I have no idea why anyone is suggesting there are free agency disadvantages to the Houston Texans, and also that he is very committed to Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson is our quarterback, only to then later on go on a podcast with Jim Trotter and kind of admit like, yeah, you know, like he's the quarterback right now. It's a hard business. Stuff happens, et cetera, et cetera. So no, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to stay a Texan. I do think they're going to lie to us as much as they can about it with a straight face.
I mean, it's a bad job, but he's also being paid millions of dollars to be, in Dan Le Batard parlance, a human meat shield for the Houston Texans. And that's what it felt like, right? Watching the press conference. It was like when a politician has a big scandal and instead of coming out and talking, he sends some hapless communications person, yes, who's like, I don't really know, guys, because nobody actually thinks David Culley is the decision maker in this regard. It's the McNair family. It's Nick Caserio, neither of whom have been answering questions. And you're right. Culley's language on the podcast was a lot more revealing, particularly when he said, we don't want any players who don't want to be here. I know a player who doesn't want to be there, and his name rhymes with LaShawn Dotson.
Ooh, LaShawn Dotson is probably a mean receiver. We need to find that kid.
Yeah, he good 40 fly.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I actually think that David Culley's job is a terrible job if his goal is to win a championship, which I think most head coaches, that's their goal when they head into the job. But David Culley is in a different position because the expectations are so low. Like, we think of that team as the worst in all of the league. Like, think about this. A few years ago, we would have like, hey, that's a great situation. You got a young quarterback. You got some talent on defense. You got some draft picks. You got all this stuff looking up. And they went from that to us thinking of them the way that we thought about the Browns for so many years. Like, if you think about all the teams, all 32 teams in the league, can you think of a team that you'd least like to be a fan of or least like to be the head coach of than the Texans right now? Like, every other team has something you can look to and say, I have a little optimism. I'm a little excited about this. This is interesting. We got a high draft pick. We got a new coach. We got a great quarterback who wants to be here. We had a playoff win last year. Like, you can look at all the teams and say that, but not the Texans. You got one more?
Do not say it, Pablo.
Russell Wilson.
Up next on HQ.
But right now, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, if Brett Veach or Andy Reid hasn't called me to discuss what the plan is, I'm concerned.
Good morning.
More treatment.
We're going to try something different today.
Should Patrick Mahomes be worried that the Chiefs aren't going to protect him this year?
So I assume Patrick Mahomes knows that the Chiefs have a plan. I assume the Chiefs have a plan because it would be insane to do this without a plan. Keep in mind, Chiefs fans consoled themselves. They wept into their pillow at night, muttering after getting blown out by Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. We didn't have an offensive line. Our starting left tackle, Eric Fisher, was out. Our starting right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, was out. When those guys are there, we're a totally different team. That's why we won the Super Bowl the previous year. But now, today, we are realizing that, yeah, Eric Fisher has been cut. Mitchell Schwartz has been cut. And so that offensive line that was plunged into an exceptional amount of chaos is once again in a current amount of chaos. I just assume, guys, that they're going to figure out other guys to plug in here.
Yeah, the season doesn't start tomorrow. So we still have the draft. We still have free agency. They are freeing up some space. They can make some other moves to free up some space, converting some guys' salary. So they can do things to improve that offensive line. But right now, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, if Brett Veach or Andy Reid hasn't called me to discuss what the plan is, I'm concerned. Not that those guys were healthy enough to do anything about it right now, but I am worried. If the last time I was on the field, I was running for my life, throwing horizontal passes to the back of the end zone on target. Like, yes, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm concerned. I might want to go back to that State Farm commercial and get me a double to go out there this season if they're not going to get me some tackles to protect me. But I think that Veach and Reed are not foolish enough to enter the season. They have a plan. They're going to get somebody in the draft, and they're going to attract some free agents. Because if you're a free agent tackle, who would you rather protect for? Like, Patrick Mahomes is a place that you want to go if you're nearing the end of your career and you want to get a championship. Yeah, I know it might be hard because he runs around a little bit, but he's going to end up scoring a touchdown and you'll be all right.
I hate it when you say something in response to like a facial expression that I've made, thus negating my ability to say the thing and correct you. I agree with both of you that it is a little concerning given that the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes playing football, he looked like the final kid in a game of dodgeball, right? Where there's like five dudes on the other side throwing balls. The balls in this case are JPP and Shaq Barrett. And he's like, that is an analogy that all three of us and not Dominique can definitely relate to because we're all very athletic and survived a game of dodgeball. Oh. But these are the situations you find yourselves in, not just when the cap is suppressed as it is this season, but when you pay a lot of guys a lot of money. And I'm not just talking about Mahomes. He's not even the biggest cap hit on the Chiefs. It's Frank Clark. Chris Jones makes a lot of money. Tyrann Mathieu. The Chiefs have a top-heavy roster. And when you have a top-heavy roster in the NFL, you have to let some guys go and hopefully find value either in the draft or in free agency.
You can't yell at Dominique for responding to one of your faces when the way that you telegraph using your face is like you're screaming at us.
Should Major League Baseball follow the minors and adopt robot umps in a 15-second pitch clock?
So I've been talking about wanting robot umps on television for like a decade now, which is terrifying but true. And I've gone on a roller coaster a little bit because I was super into it, obviously. But then I was like, wait a minute, I kind of would miss Joe West, the cowboy Joe West, the baseball umpire. I love the human element in that way. And then I was like, wait a minute, I'm looking at how they're doing robot umps in like other leagues and stuff, and they're not actually using like physical robots. So I am in on robot umps, but you need to have like the Rocky Westworld? IV robot or like a West. Yes, I want Android Westworld Joe West, Dominique. That is what I want. If you give me that, then I am in on this.
Why does the show always come back to Westworld somehow? Joe Westworld was right there, by the way.
It was.
There are a lot of things that I believe require human touch or are made worse with automation. For example, phone calls, calling your cable company. I do not like getting passed from robot to robot. Scanning things at the grocery store and trying to make the bag of tangerines barcode scan over and over. Unpleasant experience. Umpiring is not one of them. Get rid of the humans. We do not need them, especially when we at home can see how bad they are at the jobs because they put up the strike zone to tell us how much better the robots would be. I, for one, welcome the robot up revolution.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a part of other initiatives that they are testing out in minor leagues, including, like, a pitch clock to see if they can make the games faster and more entertaining.
Yes, but I want that.
I think like the problem too is they misunderstand the problems with the games. Like, making the games faster doesn't make them more entertaining. It just makes them faster. My problem with baseball, no, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to take a shot at baseball. I love playoff baseball. My problem with baseball is that the games don't matter. Like, there's no stakes. Like, I can watch a full playoff baseball series and not be bored once, no matter how long it takes them to play. But I can't watch regular season baseball on a regular basis because there's 162 games. That's like equivalent to like 10 plays in a football game. So, like, yes, I can get up and go to the bathroom and miss 10 plays and feel all right, which is why I can go without watching almost all of a season of baseball games, because all I care about is the high-stakes playoff moments, not how fast they pitch or not how accurate their strike zone is. Like, that's the problem with baseball, is that there are no stakes.
What if we gave outfielders those, like, springy legs you see sometimes that people in the park use, and they could use that to defend, like, fly
springy
balls?
Springy legs?
Ooh, springy legs? I like that. I think I would prefer stilts, not springy legs. Ooh. I want go-go gadget stilts that you can press a button.
What if we replace the outfielders all together with those Boston Dynamics robots, the terrifying ones that can like do parkour and stuff? Forget the robot umps. We want robot outfielders. And then, again, to bring it back to Westworld, we'll all have to pretend like we didn't see it coming when the revolution happens and the massacre ensues.
Can they still have Joe West's face, though?
No. As a union guy, I demand that you guys stop trying to give away these good union jobs to robots. You cannot automate everything.
Do you question if this should be the end of Trevor Bauer's one-eye pitching experiment?
So Trevor Bauer is this whole thing in baseball now. He's the guy whose brain has kind of been consumed by the internet, but he's also kind of good at baseball and really smart at baseball. And he does this thing training-wise that he's implementing in games in spring training right now where he has one eye closed. Yeah, just super subtle all around. And it's working. Like, he does this. He's very, like, biomechanically, like, in sync, blah, blah, blah. But he tried it again, and this is how that went.
He started out slow, 5 of 6 of the first
Okay, closing the eye.
95% have been strikes. Another one. That one hits for.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
Looked like he saw
Wow.
Yeah, this is like feeling when you have like a magician who, you know, is like throwing knives at someone and accidentally like hits them with the knife. So I think he should probably stop doing this entirely.
I mean, I'm entertained by any type of like oddity like that. It's kind of fun in those situations. But the problem is you're putting other people at risk. So presumably he's only going to do that with like off-speed pitches. But when you are going up against someone and they are throwing a ball that can, frankly, end your career and have you with some sort of life-altering injuries, you should not be doing it impaired. I understand that maybe there is some ability, or I understand that maybe it helps him in some way when he's training and he's throwing at a wall. That's fine. But when you get out there and you're facing real people, please don't do that.
I just want to know when Pablo has ever seen a magician hit someone with a knife. Like, you dropped that analogy so casually coming out. You're like, you know, it's like when you see a magician throwing knives and then boom, stab someone and then it's over. Like,
it only happened once. I'm very good at knife throwing.
Oh, here we go.
There it is.
I hate this video. I hate this video. Oh!
Okay.
The fire is so
like
too.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa! Why are you so chill? Why is Trevor Lawrence so chill about it?
Trevor Lawrence has great poise in the pocket, guys.
Tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, Georgetown and Seton Hall.
So there is great chaos in college basketball right now. The ACC tournament is kind of on the ropes because UVA and Georgia Tech, that game just got canceled. And now Virginia's like, we don't know if we can even be in the NCAA tournament. But all of that is kind of secondary to me right now because this happened to Patrick Ewing.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building. And I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like, I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
If you work at Madison Square Garden and you cannot recognize 6'10"-ish Patrick Aloysius Ewing starting at center for your New York Knickerbockers in the year 2021, you should have a different job. So I have no sympathy at all for these otherwise, I'm sure, fine employees at the Garden, but that is absurd. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I mean, I'm intrigued by the game. There's some allegiance to Georgetown in my family, so I'm rooting for them. But I also realize we've lost so much in this pandemic. And one of the things we lost is like the favorable audience that you have at a press conference. Because Patrick Ewing is clearly doing a bit right there, and it fell flat. Because stand-up doesn't work via Zoom. Like, he needed those sports writers in there to give him some sympathy laughs. Like, I would have enjoyed that a lot more. There's a lot of forced laughter in there. Like, as someone who benefits a lot from telling bad jokes at just the right time, I recognize that Patrick Ewing needs the support of the fake laughter of sports writers, and I'm reading me in his face, and I feel like that whole take was bad.
Hold on. No, it was good. Look.
Yes!
Three times. Are you intrigued?
Was that me? Were you trying to do a me
no,
laugh there?
No, he was just giving me support.
Wow, we're all working out issues on television today.
Well, speaking of working out issues or playing armchair psychologists, I'm going to hypothesize that the sports writers were watching Patrick Ewing talk about being stopped by security and didn't want to laugh because serious potential implications.
Wait.
I can't even get.
No. Mean it's good. You're good too. Let me do this. See, that's the fake gravitas laugh.
Yeah, nice. You're good. You're good, Paolo. You're a pro. Yeah, my 2-hour weekend finna start, y'all.
That was highly questionable. Dominic Foxworth, 2-hour weekend is finna start, I believe, is how it put that. Oh, he is all God. Over ESPN television. Go watch him there. Read him on The Undefeated. Mina Kimes.
I gotta go.
She's on ESPN Daily with her mom's son, Min Kimes, who is like Mina, but honestly just like 50,000 times better. So check that out. Also NFL Live if you want, but you don't have to.
You just used me to promote your own podcast.
Yeah.
Well done. Well
have you
done.
Just You're met impressive. Me?
People always accuse me of fake laughing, and I'm like, if I was like laughing on purpose, do you think I would sound the way I do?
Likely story.
I can't even do a fake
Hold
laugh.
On, give me a fake laugh. Let's go. Everyone's fake laugh. Give it to me, Mina. Pablo, we've already seen.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it, obviously. Yep, there it is. The human lie detector.
Into the real laugh.
Yep.
The fake laugh into the real laugh is beautiful.